Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello again and welcome to the Ugly Daughter Podcast. This is Julia Lejeune. Today I have an exceptional guest for you. His name is Major Jeff Friend. He has been a Salvation Army officer for over 32 years. During these years, he had been speaking from pub to pub, helping numerous people to find the meaning of life and preventing them from committing suicide. He's also a best-selling author. He has written 3 books and has been using the proceeds of his books to support the Salvation Army hospitals in Zimbabwe and in Zambia. Welcome to my show, Major.
Good afternoon, Julia. I'm very happy to be here this afternoon.
Major Jeff, I have read your first book, Enjoy the Journey.
Yes.
And in it, you share countless inspiring and powerful life stories of the people that you have touched and have to find a better life.
Yes.
Would you kindly share some of those stories with our listeners today?
Oh, yes, I'd be happy. I really enjoyed the start of the book because I gave 3 very powerful stories right at the beginning. And in my book, I have many pub stories because as a Salvation Army officer, on a Friday night, I'd go into the pub and talk with many people. And I really enjoyed this because so many people support and respect the Salvation Army and what they do. So I picked up a lot of stories along the way. And the very first story is of a young man that I met in a pub, and he was in a very bad way. He looked a mess. He looked like he was actually a homeless type person. That's how bad he looked. And as I walked past him, he grabbed my arm and pulled me around, and he said, "Would you please pray with me?" I thought, "Well, yeah, of course I'll pray with you." So I asked what his name was. His name was Jeff. And I said, "Jeff, I'd be happy to pray with you." And now I didn't even ask him what his prayer need was. I just felt I would pray quite a simple prayer. So I said, "I see your father. Just help Jeff. He's in a bad way. Just help him and let him know that you love him, that he matters to you, that you'll watch over him, and that you'll help him with his problem." And that's about all the prayer was.
Mm.
And then I walked out of the pub, and I didn't think much more about it. But a week later, I went into the same pub, and I'm in the area where a lot of the business people were, very well-dressed people that enjoy a social drink. And someone came up from behind and tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked around, and there's a man. I had no idea who it was. And he said, "You don't recognize me, do you?" I said, "No, I've got no idea." He said, "I'm Jeff." I couldn't believe it. This was a transformed man. This was a different man. And I looked at him. I said, "Jeff, you are completely different to when I met you last week." And he wanted to come back that Friday to thank me for that prayer. He said, "That prayer you gave me last week has made all the difference in my life. And I wanted to thank you and come back and say thank you."
Yeah.
So that's just the way I started the book. And then the next story was of an elderly couple that I met in the pub. And they really looked forward to me coming in every week. And one night I went in, and the elderly gentleman, he was on his own. And I went up to ask where his wife was. And he was very sad because his wife was very sick, and she was in hospital here in Perth. So he asked if I would go and visit his wife. And I said, "I'd love to go and visit." So I went to see her, and she was in the ICU part of the hospital. She was in a very bad way. She had so many tubes coming out of her body. She had a mask over her face. So even when I spoke to her, she could not communicate very well. So if she tried to say anything, I could not understand a word.
Yeah.
So I said a few words, and then I asked her if she'd like me to pray, and she nodded her head. So I held her hand, and I said a prayer for her, asking that God would be with her in this difficult time.
Yeah.
And as I finished the prayer, I heard a word, and it was the only word I understood her say, and that word was amen, which means that she was agreeing to my prayer.
Yeah.
So it was 2 weeks after that, I went into the pub, and I saw a husband, and he was surrounded by quite a few people, so I went up to say hello, and he got up out of his chair, and he came over, and he shook my hand. He said, "Major Jeff," he said, "I want you to meet my daughter and her husband and the children, and meet my son and his wife and their children." And then he told me that his wife had died, and that day had been the funeral.
Mm.
So they were very sad, and he wanted to thank me for going to see his wife. So then I looked at the family, and I said, "I'm glad I went to see your mum." I said, because while I was there, she asked if I would pray with her, and I prayed a prayer, and she agreed on the prayer. And because of that, I said, "I believe today she is safe in God did. And they were so happy. Even though they were sad, they got up out of their seats and they came over and gave me a hug and they said, oh, Major Jeff, we are so thankful you went to see our mum. So that's just a few of the stories I share. They're very inspirational stories. They're stories that touch people's hearts. But can I just say, the book that I wrote, I called it Enjoy the Journey. And the reason I called it Enjoy the Journey was because I'd been an officer for almost 30 years when I published the book. And in all those years, I'd met so many people in life that had not enjoyed the journey of life. That come in my office and some would be depressed, some would come in and be quite suicidal, some would come in. Some of the young people were showing me their arms and they had scars all over them where they did self-harm. And they would just say to me, Major Jeff, I do not enjoy living. I do not enjoy life.
Yeah.
So there's a verse in the scripture that I really enjoy. It's in John 10:10 where Jesus says this. He says, I have come so that you'll have a fullness of life. And I believe, as a Christian, I believe that if he did say those words, I believe everybody who lives on this planet can find a fullness of life. So that was the goal I had when I set about to write this book. I wanted young people, I wanted anyone who read the book to know that in this lifetime you get one go at it. So let's enjoy it. Let's find a fullness of life. Let's really have a life that we can really enjoy. And so that's why I set out writing this book.
I agree with what you said, Major Jeff. But when you come from a highly dysfunctional family and have been mentally abused and mistreated throughout your whole entire life,
yeah,
it's next to impossible to stay positive,
yeah,
let alone to enjoy the journey of life.
Yeah, sure.
I absolutely understand why people inflict physical harm on themselves and even choose death as a way out. I was one of those people. You see, when we self-harm, we are not trying to kill ourselves, but we actually trying to cope with the problems and the pain.
Yeah, sure.
And that's the best way we know how.
You know, I cannot begin to understand the pain that some people go through. I cannot begin to understand that. But what I want to try and do is I want to try and help them realize that through all the pain, there is a joy in living. There is a real joy in living. You know, can I just share a story?
Yes, sure.
And I think this story might be in my second or third book. A young man came into my office. He was in a very bad way. And we sat there and talked for quite a while. And then he took his jumper off and showed me his arms. And I was absolutely amazed. There wasn't a place on either of his arms that didn't have a scar. He had done a lot of self-harm. And I said to him, I said, wow, I said, that must have really hurt all the time that you cut yourself like that. And he looked back at me, he said, Major Jeff, it did not hurt nowhere much as the pain that I was feeling inside.
That's right.
So I started to understand a little bit. Now, I want to share this young man's story because I lost contact with him. He came to see me a few times, but then I lost contact with him for quite a while. And he wrote this to me. This is 4 years ago. I got a letter from him. And can I just share it with you?
Yeah, sure.
I won't give his name, but I'll just say, Dear Major Jeff, he said, I should walk away. I need help myself. I cut my arms the last few weeks due to feeling helpless, and this is what keeps me alive. This Goliath that I face every day, it wants to destroy my life, and I can't see how I can ever win the battle. He said, I need saving too. I don't want to die or end up on the street or go to jail or live in a mental hospital. But that is where I'm heading, no matter how hard I try. Now, I received that email from him about 4 years ago, and then I lost contact. And so over the years, I lose contact of people, and you sometimes wonder what happens.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this young man a few times. I think, wow, I wonder what's happened to him. I wonder where he is. It was about towards the end of last year, I received another email from him after 4 years. And can I read it to you?
Yeah, sure.
He says this. He says, Dear Major Jeff, 4 years ago, I purchased a copy of your book, Enjoy the Journey. He goes on to write, it changed my life. It gave to me the confidence to overcome the Goliath in my life that wanted to destroy me. I learned from your book that I could have enough strength in God to overcome all of my problems. I accepted this and trusted that God would help me. God did help me through his son Jesus. He saved me. I'm now living my life helping other people who have suffered like I did. And he writes, saying this, he says, Major Jeff, I have you to thank. You know, when I got that, I was actually quite emotional. That brought tears because I thought, wow, I remember this young man. I remember his arms. I remember the scars on his arms. I think, wow, what he suffered. But here he's found a way through that. And today, he lives now helping other people who are going through things very similar to what he went through.
I can definitely relate to him.
Yeah.
I've been there and done that.
Sure. Well, Julia, I've only met you not long ago, but you've impressed me, and I don't know your story, but can I just say that you are such a wonderful encourager, and I think obviously you have a story, and I've started reading your book. It's a fantastic book, but what you've developed and what you've learnt in your life is something that will really help so many people around the world.
I have got to thank for. I try time and time again to take my own life, and each time, however, God was there for me.
Amen. Amen.
May I ask, at what age did you join the Salvation Army, and why the Savos?
Okay, it's a good question. When I was 18, I was very much out doing things that 18-year-olds enjoy doing, and I quite enjoyed being out in the world and doing stuff, you know, with the alcohol and all that type of stuff. But I got to a point in my life where I had a faith, and I actually thought to myself, I'm either going to believe that there's a God,
yes,
or I'm going to walk away and believe there's no God.
Mm.
That's the choice I made at 18. That was the choice I had to make. So I actually felt within my heart that there was a God. So I thought, I'm going to follow this direction, and I'm going to make a choice to accept that there is a God.
Mm.
And as a consequence of that, I felt a call, if you like, on my life to go into full-time ministry with the Salvation Army.
Yes.
So at the age of 22, I entered the training for to become a Salvation Army officer in Melbourne. So I've actually now been an officer for just on 34 years.
Wow.
Mm.
What have you learned throughout the 32-year working with this wonderful organization, Major Jeff?
Well, it's a busy organization. You know, in those 34 years, I've been extremely busy helping people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not unusual to get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're almost like on call 24 hours. Someone calling you out because they need help, someone that's been rushed to hospital, someone who's been in an accident or so on. Mm-hmm. So you get called out to be with that family. And some of the things I've had to do have been quite difficult, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on one occasion, I was asked to go and speak to a mum and dad to tell them that their son had just died in a fire, you know, and to have to say that and then to see their reaction from that was quite difficult for me.
Yeah.
And many times I go to situations to be with people, and they're very sad times, and I can't find any words to express to take away that grief or that sadness.
Yeah.
But what I can do, I can just sit with them, and maybe I can hold their hand, or I can give them a hug, and just let them know that someone's there at a time when they need. So that's part of my life that I have enjoyed.
So where to from here?
That's a good question. That's a really good question, because in 2014, I do a lot of speaking, and I've done a lot of speaking up in Asia, but I've actually go around the world. I've spoken in many African countries, and I was in the USA last year. But in 2014, I was speaking in Malaysia. I get a very good welcome in Malaysia. I speak at so many churches and so many places, and the book is sold very well there. And on this occasion, it was received very well. There's probably nearly 300 people in the congregation, and I heard a whisper, and the whisper simply said this to me, which is quite amazing. It said to me, "This is what you were created for." You know, it was really a very powerful whisper that I heard. "This is what you're created for. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go and share this message with people around the world." Now, I sat with that for probably the best part of 12 months, because it was a very big deal. But I'd go and meet. In fact, I met so many people who'd read my book, and they'd come up to me and say, "Oh, Major Jeff, your book's so good. You need to go and speak and tell people about your book." And on one occasion, I met a chap in the pub, and he was not of the Christian faith. He was of the Jewish faith.
Okay.
And I won't share his story, but it was an amazing story. And one day he took me out for coffee, and he said to me, he said, "Major Jeff," and by this time he'd read my three books, he said, "Your books are so good." He said, "You need to go around the world to share the stories that you write about in your book." And I think I had that much confirmation, so I could not ignore it anymore. So I went to my leaders. I had to go to Melbourne to see my leader in Melbourne, and I shared this vision that I was having to go and speak about how life could be changed if you had a faith in an amazing God, how God could change your life.
Mm.
So my leaders, it wasn't as received as well as I would like, but it did go to London to the general. They had to make a decision over there. And the decision was eventually that they would release me to go and speak for 12 months. But I want to share with you something quite amazing, because even though they said they would release me to do it for 12 months, they also said they would not support me financially. So this is a big deal. You know, I'm going around the world speaking, and everywhere I go, hundreds it. Thousands of people respond. They are touched. And it's, I don't think it's got anything to do with me. I think it's got to do with that God is touching them through the stories and through the inspiration, through the message that I share. But here I am with this huge call on my life to go and speak, and I've got no support. Now my books sell well. I've given $140,000 from my books to the hospitals. I've built a school. I've given more than $30,000 to start that school. I just want to share with you about this school in Sierra Leone, and I'll come back to it if I can. But I want to finish this story about this call. So I'm in the USA last year speaking, and I got an email from a lady in Sydney who I'd never met. And she told me she'd gone into the Coorong bookstore in Sydney and purchased my book, Endure the Journey. She took it home and read it. It changed her life. And she wanted to write to me and thank me for writing the book. So I get back to Perth, having spoken in the US of A, and she contacts me again. She says, "Major Jeff," she said, "your book has impacted my life so much." She said, I need to come to Perth and meet the author of this book. So I said, "All right, come across." Now, again, I won't share a name with you, but she flew across in January this year, and she came, and she was glad to meet me. And then she said, "Major Jeff, I'd just like to have a prayer with you." So I said, I'd be happy for that. So she prayed with me. Then she said, "Now, Major Jeff, what are you going to be doing this year?" And I said, "Well, it's interesting you would ask me." I said, "I've got this huge call in my life to go out and share the message that's in my book." And I said, "I'm going to do it. I've got so many invites around the world to do it." And she said, "Oh, that'll be wonderful." She said, "How will you support yourself?" I said, I looked at her and I said, "I don't know," I said. I said, "Only God knows, because even though the Salvation Army are releasing me to do this, they're not really supporting me to do it." And she looked at me. I'll never forget it. She looked at me and she said, "Major Jeff," she said, "I'm a businesswoman," she said, "I want to help you." So she covers all my travel costs. She covers all my accommodation. And she's going to do it for this year. She said she'll do it for next year. She said she'll do it for up to 3 years if I need to. So it's amazing how when you step out of the boat, when you step out in faith, when you actually step out and do something, you take a risk to do something, and if you're doing it for God, for His glory, He goes ahead of you. He goes ahead of you in miraculous ways, and that's what He's done. So that's why I'm doing this, and that's how I'm doing it. That's how I'm being funded by it. So I'm not funded by the Salvation Army. I'm funded by this. But I have many other supporters as well. I must say that. And in fact, we've begun a foundation. We've called it Endure the Journey Foundation. Can I speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, but before I do, I want to talk about the school, because this has really blessed me, this has. It was 2 years ago I was contacted by some people in Sierra Leone when they were suffering with this virus, which was the Ebola virus.
Yeah.
And they'd heard that I'd written some books, and they wanted to know if I could support them. So I sent quite a large amount of money across, and I wanted that money to be used so that the Salvation Army would go and buy food and then take the food to the families who were quarantined. You see, if one member of the family got Ebola, every member of that family were quarantined. They were not allowed to leave their home, which meant they couldn't go out to get food. They couldn't go and buy anything. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't go to school. They couldn't do anything. So this was very serious for these families. So I sent money across to help these families so that at least I know they would get food for themselves. So as a consequence of that, some of my books got there as well, and they read the book and they came back and they said, "Major Jeff, we love your book. We want to ask you another question." And I said, "Yes, what would you like to ask?" And they said, "We have a lot of children in our community who don't have access to a school."
Yeah.
They said, "Would you consider building a school in our community?" It's a big deal this. So I said to them, "Look, I really need to think, and I'll pray about it with my wife Lynn, and we'll come back to you." So we took some time on this, and then we went back to them and said we felt we would. So I sent a lot of money, more than $30,000 across, so that they could establish the school, which meant they had to physically build everything in that school, including their desks, their chairs. Everything in that school was paid for out of my book profit. And they started the school in April 2015. So on the 15th of April 2016, this year, they celebrated their first year. It was fantastic. At the end of last year, they had 80 children attending the school. And back in December, I can still remember, because at the centre I looked after with the Salvation Army, we had more than 1,000 families would come into our centre to get presents for their children for Christmas. And they could pick up to 7 presents for their kids. So I know that even the poor people in our country, they get a lot of gifts for Christmas. But over in countries like Sierra Leone, they don't get anything. So I contacted the school and I said, "I would like to buy a Christmas present for every one of the children that go to the school." And I asked them, "What would the children like for Christmas?" You know what response I got?
No.
They said to me, "Major Jeff, the children would like one bag of rice for Christmas." Now I'm saying, "Oh," I said, "we can do better than that." I said, "You go out, you put together a Christmas hamper, which included a live chicken, a teddy bear, a soft toy, and soft drink and food, and they put it all together, and it cost $40 for the hamper. They came back to me and they said, Major Jeff, we've got this hamper. It's $40. There's 80 children, so I knew I had to raise $3,200. So with the help from people in the community, and also the lady in Sydney, she helped out, we raised the $3,200, and we sent it across. And on Christmas Eve last year, those boys and girls, they all got their Christmas hamper. And I got photos sent. I've got to tell you, I was so emotional. I was really emotional. I was so touched. I was so blessed. So one of the joys that I've had in the last 2 years is helping to develop the school. And I just want to thank, I really thank God for that opportunity.
What advice do you have for our listeners today?
I just think, first of all, if there's someone out there that's not enjoying life, I want to encourage them to find places or find people that can give them support, to find groups that can help them, because they get one go at life. Now, I'm aware that there's a lot of people in this lifetime that have suffered. You know, they've gone through some type of abuse. They've come from a dysfunctional home. We have a young chap that comes into our place very often. He's only 17 years of age, and he really struggles because his mother is a drug addict, and he's got no one to turn to. He doesn't know where to go. He's only 17. Mm. He's trying to escape this, but there's a lot of issues in our world that are pulling people apart.
Yeah.
And so what I want to say to them is that life is good.
Yeah.
In your life today, you're feeling that it's hard work. You're feeling a little bit down, a little bit pressed, a little bit that things aren't going well. Sure, I want to say this. Nothing ever stays the same. You know, a wise man once said to me, Jeff, never get out of a train when you're in a tunnel. And that stayed with me all my life, because in our lifetime, we go through dark tunnels. We go through difficult times. We go through storms. In fact, in my second book, one of my chapters is, I call it Overcoming the Storms of Life. Every one of us goes through storms of life. You know, we all get sick. Eventually, we all die. Eventually, or a family member dies. You know, there's sadness. This side of heaven, there's sadness with sickness and death and so on. So what I say to people is, if you're in a tunnel, don't get out of the train, because there's going to come a day when you'll get through that difficult time. There's going to come a day when you'll get through that storm. There's going to come a day when things will get better. When I launched my second book, I went on the radio, and the announcer asked me, he said, Major Jeff, why have you written your book? I said, there's one reason I've written my book, and it's simply this. I want people to know that in this lifetime, there is always hope. I said, I meet so many people in my ministry, and they have no hope. I said, I want people to know there's always hope. No matter how hard life is, how difficult life is, there's always hope.
Yes.
So the next day, after I'd been on the radio, a lady rings me and she says, Major Jeff, I heard you on the radio yesterday. And she said you wrote your book so that people could know there's hope. I said, that's right. Mm-hmm. She said, I've lived my life for such a long time without hope. Could I come and see you? So I said, yes, come and see me. The next week she came to see me. Now, her name's Noel. I don't mind saying it, because in the book I share the story and I use the name. And she caught three buses to my office, came to my office, sat down, and she shared a story. As a very, very sad story. And I'm sitting there. Sometimes when you hear sad stories, you can't say anything. You just have to listen.
Yeah.
So at the end of the time together, she said to me, she said, Major Jeff, I really would like to buy your book. She bought the two books at the time, and she took them with her. It was probably about 3 months after that, I got an email from Nola, and I'll never forget it. She says, Major Jeff, she said, this is the lady who heard you on the radio who had no hope. She said, I came to your office and I bought your books. I read your books. She said, I'll never forget. She said, while I was reading your books, she said, I found God. First of all, she said that, I found God. And she says this, when I found God, she said, I found hope. I'll never forget it. And she found hope. So she came to see me again, and today she works as a volunteer in the Salvation Army, and her whole life has turned around. So if I could say to your listeners today, one thing, I want to say this, no matter what you're going through today, there's always, don't get out of the train while you're in a tunnel, okay? Nothing ever stays the same.
Yeah.
And this is what I say in my first book, and I like to say it over and over, everybody matters to God, everybody. That's the message I have to people, your listeners today.
Yeah.
No matter what you do in life, no matter what you do, and that's their choice, they can choose to do whatever they want, and I support anything like that, but they need to hear this, they still matter to God.
I absolutely agree with you, Major Jeff, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you today.
You're a wonderful inspiration, Julia. You know, I've started reading your book, and I've heard some of your story, and what you've gone through in your lifetime to where you are today. I think that's a miracle of God for a start, but I think you are such an inspiration. You are such an encourager, and I think your story really motivates me, and I want to thank you for it. It really does.
Thank you so much for your kind words. I want to wish you the very best with your journey, and I hope to speak with you again very soon in the future.
No worries. I'll be happy to come back one day and give you an update. Just one quick thing. When I go back to the Philippines, the two largest bookstores have really liked my book and they're going to do a national launch of my books across the Philippines, which is a big deal because they're actually expecting to sell many, many copies. And I think that'll put a lot more money into the foundation. But now, the foundation, I've called it Enjoy the Journey Foundation. And part of the purpose I want is I want to take this message to people around the world that they can enjoy the journey of life.
Major Jeff, thank you for your time. Bye for now.
Thank you, Julia. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening and for your support as always. I'll see you next week.